And we're live. And this is Judith Conrad. I'm a coach for all reasons. I'm an intuitive coach, a spiritual coach, and a radio broadcast coach. And all of the above, and maybe none of the above. And here I am doing radio on Wednesday. It's Wednesday, and that has always been my radio day. Well, almost always. Whenever it's radio, it's always my day. And all of those folks who are listening out there, I want to welcome you to the Judith Conrad radio program. I could have a fancy name, but then I like my name, so it's easiest. Otherwise, I would forget it, you know? So we're going to be doing some fun things here today. I have a dream board here, a vision board, and we're going to use that almost as if it were a divination tool. In fact, I'm doing a class very shortly on this, and everyone's, oh, I've done a vision board, I've done a dream board, and I cut up pictures for 6 months getting ready for it, and I said, ooh, this is my class. You have 20 minutes to rip pages out of a magazine. You're going to rip them out, you're going to rip out, and you're going to look at that page, and you're going to, maybe you'll see a word, and you don't cut it out right then, you just rip the whole page out. You put it there, and you keep flipping through the magazine, flip, flip, flip. And then when you get about, oh, I usually let people go about 20 minutes, and it's intense. I mean, everyone's just go, go, go. And then we put the magazines away. And then I give you a pair of scissors, and you cut out pictures. You cut out words, and you put them in two different piles. That takes another 20 minutes, and I kind of time you. I kind of move, because what I'm doing is I'm short-circuiting that brain, that analytical part that wants to, well, maybe do what you've done before, and the intuitive part, which, you know, that's what is going to start kicking in about this time. And as you've noticed in the last two programs prior, my main focus is about teaching the techniques of how you can have inner peace. You can use that intuition. And I would say that the 100% of the folks who use their intuition, you're successful. You'll know whether to go right. You'll know whether to go left. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Okay, now we've got the pictures and the words in two different piles. Then I give you a piece of art paper. I don't give you the huge one because you're going to spread things way out. I want things kind of pulled together. And so what I do, then I give you, you've got the two pages. You're going to start cutting and pasting at the same time. And sometimes when we're doing this, I want you to just visualize. Maybe you've got this picture of a mountain scene, a meadow or ocean. This is what usually happens. It goes usually in the middle, and then people will start putting things around it. And guess what? You may even cover that up. And I've had more than my share. In fact, on this one, the latest one I've done, I've got a glacier. And everything that's hidden underneath the water is totally covered up with words and pictures. Now, I want you to just visualize this iceberg. Underneath it, the words are just what the world needs. And then underneath that says, Life Coach, A New Path. And underneath that is this tree. And it actually, I tilted it on its side. It has no branches, no leaves. I mean, it's got all branches. They're dead. In other words, my intuitive hit on that is, I want you to think about how that applies to you, is it's dead. The old way of doing my life coaching is dead because I'm going to go on a new path because the world doesn't need the old coaching that I used to do. And underneath that, it says hidden gem. Awaken to your purpose, channeling, it's your gift. Oh, boy. When I put that on there, I said, oh, my gosh. If I use that word, people are going to freak out. But not on this station, because this station, you're totally in alignment with what that is. So as I was pasting and that, everything was all put together. And then as I left the whole class, they had another 20 minutes of soft music. And they just sat and they looked at the paper, they looked at the pictures, they looked at everything because it's all glued down now. They can pick it up and look at it. And I looked at, that's where my eye went immediately. And so I really got excited. So I start journaling and writing about what it was. And then I looked, I kept looking and writing, and then I looked over to the right and there's this rooster. Well, what's that rooster do? Well, a rooster crows and it has to blast it, you know, tell everybody that there's a new pathway coming And then up above that was Imagine More. And up above that was A Pack of Wolves. And up above that was A Lone Wolf. So I looked at those two wolves, sets of pictures, the one with a group and the other one was with the singleton wolf. I'm a singleton person. Yeah, I've always done it myself, but what I get with this new coaching, it's the pack, the tribe. And that's what I got. And then I kept going further. Here's this iceberg, which is solid ice. You know, it's taken the form from water and steam is putting into a solid form. And up above that, it says paradise. Up above that, it says visions. And then there are two people and there's a sunshine and they're putting their fingers together like the big O for Larry Godex Newbie, because he's going to be my guest pretty quick. And then up above that is a stagecoach with horses. Up above that, it says no need to slow down. And up above that is a jaguar. And you know that jaguars, that is the fastest cat that I think in existence, but what do I know? So I'm going to use my vision board. I've kind of gotten you in the mood of it, and I'm going to use this. If you call in, I'm going to have Larry, who's my guest, he's going to be helping me, and he doesn't know how yet, but we're just going to have fun with this, and that's the most important thing about that. So anytime you decide you want to call in, you can feel free to go ahead, and you know all those telephone numbers are right there in front of you, and you can go ahead and call in if you so desire. I love it when people call, but as last time, you know, no one called in, and that was just perfect. I had no problem with that until the very end, and then we ran out of time, so I can do a whole hour by myself just talking, and let's look at that word channeling. What does that mean? That means that you're connected to that inner part of yourself, where you're so in that zone, you're so in that place of joy, and there's no judgment, and words, you saw what I was doing with the picture, with my collage. I just let the words go one after the other, and I went from one picture to the other picture to the other picture. It's the same thing, only you're using words. Well, and then my guest, Larry, went into the other room and brought out his collage. So I think we need to have him on the line. So Seth, if you'll go ahead and give him a call, I want to get him online. And he's been listening, so he knows what I've been talking about. He can see my collage. That's nice having him in the same room, so he can see my collage. And then I'm going to get his collage. Here we go. I think we've got him online.
Here.
All right. Hi, Larry. All right, do we got we connected here, Seth? All right. Can you hear me on the telephone, Larry?
I can.
All right, there we go. Okay, so Larry, you were looking at my picture, and we're going to get yours up here pretty quick. I had no idea that you had one.
It's not actually mine, it's my daughter's, but it's the same thing. Now Virginia uses it.
All right. So when you were looking at mine, and I was talking about it, where does your eye go naturally on this collage?
To the sun. No, it's some kind of light in the center.
All right, and that's it. That's in a cave.
Okay.
So you know, so I can do an interpretation of that. When I let you do an interpret, what do you see there? You see the light, and I told you it was a cave, and there's a human being in there, in the cave. What does that mean to you?
That means that you don't go into the cave without a light.
I love it. You don't go into the cave without a light. In other words, you don't go out into the world or in any place without some kind of instruction, without some kind of a tool for assistance.
That's correct.
All right. Well, let's bring in yours. Now, you out there, I know how great you are at visualizing. Now, this was made, I want you to imagine, it's wonderful. It's an oval shape, and it has a lot of words and very few pictures. Notice how the difference in what I produced and what your daughter produced. As you're looking at it, close your eyes. Just close your eyes, Larry. And where does your eye, when you open them, where does your eye go immediately?
To the hot chick at the top running.
To the hot chick at the top running. So what does that mean for you? I mean, your daughter did this collage, this vision board. And what does it mean to you right here, right now, having nothing to do with your daughter?
That the power of visualization can take you from point A to point B simply by seeing yourself at point B when you're still at point A.
I love it. Right, because there's a rose behind her and there's a stopwatch in front of her. And so that's it. You're visualizing before you even start. You're visualizing where you're going to be at point B. And if you don't have a point B and you start out, you're really kind of at a disadvantage, aren't you?
If you don't know where you're going, you're probably going to get there.
I love it. If you don't know where you're going to go, you're going to get there. You're going to get where you don't know where you're going to go. Well, here's another possibility. You start out. I'm going to visualize Lewis and Clark. And Lewis and Clark start out. They don't know how to get across. And so what did they have to do to get from point A to point B? They knew that they wanted to get across those mountains. They had to find a person who knew the way. So they hired this person to get them from point A to point B. And that's why, you know, sometimes we need assistance. Now, Larry, you work with the track folks out there at the University of Oregon. For those people who are in upstate New York, here in San Diego, you may have heard of the Ducks. Well, they're not just the ones that fly south. That's our football team. We have, this is Tracktown USA. So tell me about that as we're talking about destination point A to point B.
The university has a legacy of fine distance runners, and they didn't show up on campus world class. It was through their coaching and mentoring that they listened and did workouts and tried not to peak too soon, to temper their training so that when it came to the ultimate competition, they were ready.
So the pacing, it's like climbing the highest mountain. They have to pace themselves.
You have to find your pace. I remember when I ran my first, last, and only marathon. Bill Bowerman, the legendary coach at the University of Oregon, was our mentor at a running and marathon clinic at the local YMCA. And every Saturday he would speak to us, and then we'd go out and run, and people would gravitate to the pace of somebody that was similar to theirs. But he said three things that were incredible, and it applies not just to distance running. He said that always run the second half of the race faster than the first, whether it's a 400 meters or a marathon. He said that hills are interval or sprint training in disguise. And if you think about that, when you're going up a hill, you're leaning forward like you are sprinting. And the third thing that really stuck with me is that you can race twice as far as you train. So if you need to race a 10K, for instance, that would take you an hour, you can effectively train for 30 minutes a day and be strong enough to run that in the final analysis. And when I started out that marathon, everybody took off because the hair on the back of their neck was standing up and they were excited. And I forced myself to run slow at the beginning and ran the first mile in 10 minutes, but eventually finished that marathon at an 8-minute pace for 26 miles. So I progressively moved forward into my pace, and then once I found it, I stuck with it.
Well, that's the same as life, you know, and if you can take this, and that's why I always like to have teachings going on here, and Larry is an excellent teacher just by the way he lives his life. And so if you can take that, you know, if you set a goal, yes, you're going to start slowly, and you're going to get your foundation, just like with my vision board, I have my foundation here. I know what I'm about. I know that I have the tools to do this, and I may have to hire a coach, and that would be okay too. Coaches need coaches themselves to help them to know what is the foundation. In fact, I am creating this whole thing new because now I'm on BBS Radio. And there are listeners out there, and I'm so excited. I already have 3 clients that came from this. So thank you, folks, for giving me a shout and you know, doing a session with me. And with a couple, we're going to continue on. And then from there, I'm going to get a coach so I know how to help be that new coach, not the old coach, but the former coach. We're not old. We're young. There's terminology there. So that's good. If you'd like to call in and join in the conversation, you have all of the telephone numbers that you can call. And we would love to have you call in. So you know the numbers. I'm not going to read them all because there are 4 or 5 phone numbers. And by the way, Larry, did you know that we're broadcasting from Paradise? Paradise, California.
Are we really? I've been there. I love Paradise. It's a
right.
Beautiful little town.
It is. And they've established, I don't know how many years ago, they established this internet radio program, maybe 10, I would say, and they've built it and built it. They started small. They had a few people who were on them. In fact, they've been with them ever since they started. And then people came on, and then they left, and they come back. So it's very much like we're talking about with the sports, with the marathon. Now, Larry's also involved. Anything more with the track?
You know, you were talking about success, and in my experience, I've learned that success is not a destination. Success is a journey.
Yes.
And my favorite definition of success is that it is a progressive realization of worthwhile predetermined goals. So you visualize those goals, and then you progress toward them, and it ain't going to happen overnight.
Very good. And, you know, so many people say, I'm such a failure. No one called in the radio program, or no one signed up immediately. Well, my philosophy also, Larry, is that you've got to plant the seeds. And in fact, that we heard a speaker, Scott Stewart, and he talked about hunting as opposed to farming. When you're farming and you want to have clients, you plant the seeds, you talk to them, you have a relationship, and that grows into perhaps they know someone who could use your services, or maybe they're the one who could use their services. But to go out and make a killing and hunt and bag a deer or an elk the first time, or the big client, it could happen. In fact, Pamela Knoyer said that's what she goes out. She assumes she's going to have the big one. Yeah, so that's what we're hoping, that you'll get this essence of what we're talking about here. Okay, continuing on.
One of the things I found, Judith, is that when you are setting goals, it's important to know what is important enough to set a goal in. And I went through some training about 20 years ago that revolutionized and changed my life. There are 7 areas of our life that are tremendously important. And the first, and they can be in any order you want them to be in, because I believe they are all equally important. The first one is spiritual, and that could be whatever you perceive that higher power to be. A second one would be your physical body. The Greeks had it right: sound body, sound mind. Family life is incredibly important. That would be number 3. Your financial life is incredibly important, as is your career path. And, of course, your mental life is very important, and your social life. So spiritual, career, family life, physical, financial, and mental. And if you can visualize those things as all 7 of them as ping pong balls, and you're sitting in a hot tub with your chin, your elbows, and your feet, and you're trying to keep all of those ping pong balls submerged at the same time, one of them is going to be popping to the surface, and that's the one you probably need to be working on at that point in time. But if you can visualize those seven areas as being the spokes of a wheel, and then out on the outer edge, you would put a rim about around those. And if the spokes are going beyond the rim or not reaching the rim, there's no way in God's green earth that that wheel can roll smoothly through life. So you can't focus on one of those seven areas or two of those seven areas. You have to focus on all seven of the areas, or something in your life is going to be out of balance. It's probably the best visual that ever happened to me as a young person, to see that graphically and then realize, what good is it if you haven't read a book in that mental area since you graduated from college? Or what good is it if you are a multimillionaire and you've been divorced three times and your kids hate you? Or if physically you are a wreck and you have all the money in the world and you die of a heart attack? So you need to focus on all seven of those areas to keep your life in balance.
That is, I really like the analyzation, because, and I, as I wrote, I see I'm a good student. You're coaching me. You're mentoring me. Thanks, Larry. And by the way, Larry's full name is Larry Godex. Newbie. Perfect when we live here in Eugene, Oregon. So looking at these, of course, the, as I mentioned, I'm an intuitive coach, a spiritual coach. I've done a lot of training with this, but the others were also integrated in that. Once I started doing the spiritual path, I was just reminded of it about 2 weeks ago of how excited I got with my first training that I had when I mean, the teacher that we had took 5 years with all of us to get us to, so that we weren't afraid little bunnies to to investigate that spiritual realm, and I got so excited about being able to connect with my angels, connect with my guides, to be able to connect with a power animal. And to this day I still use this. And I'm really coming back to it full circle more than I have before. Because when I first arrived in Eugene, I kind of backed off of it and kind of did the radio broadcast coaching, which is very much more, it was more conventional. And with the spiritual training, where I just absolutely love it, I get so excited when I know that I've got a session that I'm going to do on the telephone or people coming into my home office. That gets me so excited. So there. Larry watches me get all excited here.
Enthusiasm is contagious, and yours is worth catching, Judith.
And where's there about humor in here, too? Well, one of the themes that I was looking at was your heartfelt longings and your destiny. I mean, I think it comes out of all of these. And when we find what we really, really love, and you could hear the enthusiasm in my voice, of course, radio. I told someone I'm addicted to radio. I mean, I'll drive 1,000 miles or fly. I used to fly to Los Angeles from San Francisco or Oakland to do a radio program every week. I said, is that an addiction or what? But it was fun. So, you know, whatever your longings are, once you've established, and let me share this little story. The author's name is Lynn Roberts. She wrote a book called Shape Shifting into Higher Consciousness. She had a teacher, and he went on a 6-year meditation retreat. And when he came back to visit in the United States, they met, and she asked him what was so, I mean, his energy was so high and so strong, very much at peace. And she said, how did you come to go on this 6-year retreat? And now he's going back for the rest of his life. Well, someone had told him that he'd be better off living by himself in a cave, because he was kind of an isolationist. And he was frustrated. Everyone was frustrated because he was so – he didn't want to be out with folks. So he went off and did this. And once he got, he said, the idea appealed to me. And so he followed that dream. And of course, when you have that enthusiasm, the goals are going to happen that much faster. And here he is coming back after 6 years in this meditation. And you know, that isn't for everyone. But you know, we get a hit early on in our childhood. And I'm sure that many of you have gotten this inspiration of what spirit or God wants for you. When I had this dream when I was early on, and I think I've shared this on the radio. Missionary. And I said, okay, God, can we negotiate on this? Oh, I said, no way. But in a way, you know, I'm spreading the word. I'm, you know, taking the word out to different places. So I believe that this is what my essence is. And when I get excited about it, of course, it is infectious. And I want people to catch it. I want people to find their essence. What is their inner heartfelt longings? And that equals your destiny. Larry.
Whatever you sincerely believe, ardently desire, and enthusiastically act upon will inevitably come to pass. But you have to have that passion. There are so many folks in the world that are working in careers that they are not passionate about because they can't get outside of the box. They may want to, but either financially or emotionally or whatever is blocking them, they don't have the courage to break out of that and follow their passion. I'm going to talk about my daughter for a second, who graduated from the University of Oregon in exercise and movement science, used to be called human physiology, which is basically pre-med. She should have been in the School of the Arts in interior design because that's where her passion is. No way is she going to become a doctor. No way is she going to become a physical therapist. No way is she going to become a physician's assistant. She is not going to be happy until she goes back and gets another Bachelor of Arts or Science in interior design. And she knows that. And she won't be a happy camper until she makes that change. She never, ever should have gone into exercise and movement science.
Yeah. And I see so many people, and they're just they're locked into a job they hate. And you know, there's so many people who are losing their jobs right now. And when people come to me, because I have done some career, counseling and intuitive work around that, and I said, I am so excited. It took that being laid off for you to get out of that horrible job, and now I want you to look at what you really want to do. And when I did a reading for a couple of the folks, I mean, they just said, no way. And then after, but they told me I was absolutely crazy. No way. And about 2 weeks later, they called me back and said, you know what? I thought, well, let me just try that hat on. And they said, I got so excited. I just had to call you and say, I want to apologize, first of all, for telling you you're crazy. And just thank you for thinking outside the box and helping me to look at a different way. And that's what a coach does. They want to support you in your goals, but they also want to, because it takes that other person to see what you can't see because you're too close to it. You're in that crisis of having to stay in a job you hate.
Goals have to be smart.
Yes.
They have to be specific. They have to be measurable. They have to be, most of all, realistic and attainable and tangible. For instance, if I were to set a goal to be the heavyweight boxing champion of the world, that's not a smart goal. I'd walk into the ring and get my head knocked off in the very first fight. So you have to have some realism in your goals so that you don't do something. You may be passionate about fighting, but if you aren't physically endowed enough to survive, you'll never make it.
And if you're not a glutton for punishment, you know, that's another part of that whole thing. Yeah, so that, again, if you'd like to call in, we would definitely welcome your call to join us here. I didn't know where the conversation was going to lead, but did I worry about it? Heck no. I could have just carried the whole hour by myself, but I wanted someone else to bounce ideas off of. And a third person to call in would be a nice addition also. So we're looking at just a little summary here. We started out with the collage, and we started out with a tool that we can just take a look at. If you realize that answers are every place you look, I love to look at clouds, and I love to say, okay, God, give me information about changing from one radio station to the other. And if I would see a swan, my first thought would be, well, transforming from the ugly duckling into the swan. You know, see, it's whatever my mind associates with whatever symbol I think I see there. It has a lot to do with imagining and pretending. You know, when we're kids, didn't you imagine and pretend you did this and did that? And how soon did it take your parents to knock that right off the counter? Because it wasn't logical. But you can just imagine. And one of my teachers, Jean Houston, she used to help us to imagine beyond where we were. So if we were going point A to point B, how about C over here? Going beyond where we thought our goals were. And here's another thing in the coaching. What you promise you're going to do for your goal, and then a stretch, a go for. So if I'm going to run 5 miles, that's my promise. I'm going to promise the coach I'm going to run 5 miles, okay? My stretch or my goal for is going to be maybe 6 miles. I could go it if I really went for it.
Have real sore muscles if you try without working up to it.
I know it. Yeah, we're going to take a break now, and we're going to be right back. And if you'd like to call in the meantime, go ahead. You have the numbers there. We'll be right back.
What is an intuitive reading? Why do people come to an intuitive such as Judith Conrad for a reading? They are in crisis or chaos. They just know that there is more information that they can't put their finger on. They want to know how to fully utilize their potentials and resources. They want to slow down to receive answers. They want more tools to deal with life changes. They know that their ways of resolving their problems aren't working. They've lost control. They want to find relevance and meaning to their life. They are experiencing loss of homes, jobs, careers, relationship, love, loved ones, death, major changes. They want to know how to break out of the status quo. Judith Conrad can assist in this transformation. Call Judith at 541-515-0610. That's 541-515-0610. And check out the website at eugeneintuitive.com.
Get a coach. Here we are at the beginning of 2011, and it's time to jumpstart your life. Let's see where you are with the following questions.
Are your New Year's resolutions still valid? Are you procrastinating on your current goals? Are your goals meaningful? Are you ready to really commit to a quantum leap in your business and personal life? Want to know your life's purpose? Do you have a creative idea that needs developing?
If so, call Judith Conrad, a personal, business, and intuitive coach with 25 years of entrepreneurial coaching experience. She is a cut-to-the-chase coach who knows what's ahead. Call 541-515-0610. That's 541-515-0610.
Timely tips on the Judith Conrad radio program. Judith is offering an opportunity to share your minute of how-to information every week on her radio program. The same information will be featured on her website. What a unique way to spread the word about your business, service, and about you. Call Judith Conrad for an interview about this marketing idea. 541-515-0610. That's 541-515-0610.
Thank you.
And welcome back. And my guest is Larry Godex Newby. We're talking about goals. I had no idea where we're going to go with this. And, of course, I'm always prepared with about an hour's worth of material. And so we're talking about the goals and how to get ready for them, how to be coached, and how to pace yourself. And so we're just going to continue talking about this, and we invite you to call in. And welcome back, Larry.
Well, thank you, Judith.
Well, it's exciting because, it's not as if you're at a loss for words. Every time I see you, you're always so friendly, and you're always talking to people. And, you know, that's being smart, too. You talk about smart goals and the social. I think that's very important to acknowledge everyone.
Well, that's good to be well-rounded.
Yes, that's part of being – that's your social life. That was number 7. Or, of course, you can put any of these in any order. And, you know, sometimes I notice with cliques. I mean, every place you go, there are cliques. And when someone comes in and even the smallest word, if you'll say a small word or just anything to someone and they've just entered into a meeting, they don't know really anyone there. And if you can just say a couple words to them, it sure does make them feel much more welcome than if you just, say hi and that's about it.
So that's me. I'm Larry Godex Newby. I don't believe we've met yet.
And isn't that the perfect end? Yeah, because, and it was interesting. My mom, she says, I don't know what to say to people. She's had a hearing, a loss for years and years and years, about 98% hearing loss. And so she says to me and to my brother, she says, well, how do you two get – it's so easy for you. I said, well, I don't know. But so my brother wrote down 3 or 4 different introductory things, like, hi, I'm Francis. How are you doing today?
Wear duck clothes and people will say, go ducks.
I know. Every time I go someplace, and I do wear go ducks and my sweatshirts and my all that, the stuff. And people will stop me and say, talk about the game, talk about who's won or hasn't won. And, it's just kind of funny.
Even when you're traveling across country in airports, it happens.
It does, yeah. So you always go in full uniform. Now, for those folks who are calling, who are listening in California, you're listening in New York or Florida or Minnesota, wherever you're listening, you probably have a way of introducing yourself. Like today, I went to Women's Business Network, and we had a lot of new ladies there. So I made a point of going up to each and every one of them and introducing myself and, just saying hello and making sure they felt they were welcome. They liked that. Yeah, they liked that. You know something? I love the silence on the radio. A lot of people just have a problem with allowing that silence.
Judith, when I tell people that the 5 years I spent in Toastmasters was more valuable than my college degree, and one of the things they have as a tool when you're speaking at Toastmasters is they have a bell, and somebody is assigned as the awe counter, because we as Americans, and I don't know if it's just an American challenge, but we cannot stand the pause. We have to fill that pause with some kind of sound. But in reality, good public speakers use the pause to emphasize their point. But if you fill it up with awe, it takes away all of the power of that pause.
One of the ways that I like to use that pause is if I make a point, I want to pause so that you can absorb it before I go on to the next point of the presentation. If I went directly from number 1 to number 2, it wouldn't give you, the listener, a chance to just absorb just quickly whatever I've given. Now, when I do a reading, and I'm going pretty fast sometimes, I have the cards laid out, the one thing is I'm recording it. And as I'm recording it, I'm expecting that person to listen back, because I will take a pause, and sometimes it's a lengthy one, And one person said, well, what are you doing that for? How come you're not continuing? I said, well, I want you to listen. When you're going back to listen to the tape or the MP3, I want you to have time to know that this is a chance to stop the tape and write down whatever you've learned from that. It's a good tool. So those people, I use the word so a lot. And that's my connector, my bridge. I'm very aware that I use it, and sometimes I use that when I'm ready to make a punch, something. I don't know what it is, but we know our own idiosyncrasies and how we speak.
That pause also allows you the opportunity to read the face as the speaker of your audience to see how they are responding or reacting to
right.
The pause.
The pause, yeah. The pregnant pause. I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, though, we're going to open up the phone lines if you'd like to call in. And you know the numbers there. We have an 800 number, which is very nice. I like that. Or you can go ahead and come in on Skype. It's BBS Radio. And you, the people who are listening to this station, you're more acquainted with this than I am, even though I was on 5 years ago. One of the things that happened just recently, and sometimes the things that are so synchronistic, I was having a conversation with one of my friends, and we were talking about something that someone had done and how I was pretty angry about it. And I thought, boy, I'd just like to do something to that person, you know, and we're not, you know, if you're perfect and you don't ever have a negative thought about someone, then I'm very, very happy for you. But I'm amongst those that have, you know, sometimes my emotions will get to me. And this morning, after this conversation, I get this email from someone out of the blue. And it says, hate runs deep and stops everything. And it can't be stopped. Love is forever. It's forgiving. And it never stops. It runs forever. You have a choice of hating, or you have a choice of loving. And I was looking then at relatives who've since crossed, you know, passed over, died, and thinking that, you know, they couldn't get past the hate. They hated because the brother got to go to the military, and that person didn't. And this person married the most beautiful girl in the whole class, and they didn't get that girl. And so the hate and animosity that runs their life from that point on means that they've missed good opportunities that they would have had if they could have just been, quote-unquote, a bigger person, a more gracious person, and let it go and moved on to see what opportunity was there. You may have missed the most beautiful girl in the class. She may be the plumpest one in the class now after 35 years, and you would have missed someone who was genuinely beautiful, beautiful inside. So stop and think where you are in your life. And it was so synchronistic that I got this. In fact, it came as a text. So I called the person. I said, who is this? Oh, well, this is one of your relatives. I said, you know, why did you send that to me? Well, I just felt like sending it. I said, you don't realize how apropos that was in this moment.
I like to think of that hate and like as positive and negative energy. There's enough negative energy out there in the world without me polluting it more and contributing to it. It's much easier if you have built-in positive mechanisms in your life. And it's all about attitude. You have to train your attitude to be positive. There's two ways you can look at it, positive or negative.
Right.
Choose the high road.
Yes. And so, Larry, I'm sure that you've, in your life, you've had some negative things happen. Can you give, you know, how do you turn that around?
A real good one is that after my freshman year of college in Springfield, Missouri, which is one of the few times that I haven't lived here in Lane County, my father passed away in June of that year from a long-term illness with multiple sclerosis. And the draft board, even though I came home to be close to my mother as a dutiful son, thinking that that was a good thing to be close to your mom. And I enrolled in a school here in Eugene, and the draft board changed me from student status to 1A. Mm. And in March, I got a draft notice, and that was a huge negative. My brother had been in the Air Force previously, so I ran down to the Air Force recruiter and said, help. And I took their battery of tests and passed all four of them, administrative, electrical, mechanical, and I can't even remember what the other one was, general. And he said, can you leave in a week? And I said, in lieu of being drafted, you bet I can leave in a week. So I turned a huge negative of being a foot soldier in Vietnam into being in the Air Force as a chaplain's assistant during that period of time.
How wonderful. You see, and by the way, we'd love to have you call in and just, you know, get ready to join in the conversation. We have a little bit of time left here. And so turning that, you know, you could have been angry and not taken the action, and you would have been the foot soldier, and who knows what would have happened. Taking positive action from, and was it passion? It was smart. It wasn't so much passion. It was a lesser of two evils. Whether that was evil or not, I don't know. Okay, the 800 number is 888. Love those eights. 627-6008. You know the number. Just go ahead and give us a shout, and we would love to include you in this. And we're having a great conversation here, Larry. Go Ducks newbie. I love it when he introduces himself because he hits the Go Ducks. So, Larry, how did you get – now, you grew up in Eugene, and is this your legal name now?
You know, that's funny. You should ask.
You knew I was going to do that.
When I started Facebook a couple of years ago, for whatever reason – I had the inspiration to not just put Larry Newby as my Facebook name, but Larry Go Ducks Newby, as if it were a middle name. And I can remember my daughter Amber, who's 29, lives in Arlington, Texas, posted on Facebook one day, Dad, your middle name is not Go Ducks. But it's pretty close. My middle name is actually Eugene, and Eugene is the home of the Ducks. So if you stretch, you can put that together.
Well, it certainly has stuck because Larry and I are in several networking groups together, the greeters, Eugene greeters, Springfield greeters, and a couple other ones. And, you know, it just has stuck. And so when Larry introduces himself, it's always Larry Go Ducks Newbie. And you're the great football fan, too.
I am that.
Well, how are our Ducks going to do tonight? Or tomorrow night?
I think Cal's going to wish they'd have stayed in the Bay Area.
Really?
At the end of all of this. They're struggling this year a little bit, and the Ducks are hitting a stride. And I think that tomorrow night is going to be all about the Ducks.
Well, the first game, and of course they were just, that was their first game. It wasn't really part of the Pac-10, or 12, was it? So we didn't win, and I thought, oh my goodness, is this the way it's going to go? Because we lost some good players from last year, right?
We did, but the nemesis to a football team is turnovers. And the young Ducks turned the ball over so that LSU could simply pick it up and walk into the end zone. And you cannot overcome those kinds of mistakes. I don't care how great a team you are. What brings great teams down is not hanging on to the football. So they've been doing a lot better job since.
And sometimes when you start out like that, you have a chance to change. And we're going right back to the goals again. You start out and maybe you get a false start and you're making errors, and then you correct it. And that means your foundation is now stronger. And like Larry was talking about with the marathon, he started out slowly, built up until he found his pace. And so the ducks now are getting their pace, they're getting their rhythm, so to speak. And I'm wondering out there, with you, the listeners, if you have taken the time to set up a good foundation, a slow start, to get the goals, really be clear about what you want, and find your rhythm, and keep working, keep your networking going, whatever you're doing in business. I wonder if you've done that. I would be so interesting to hear the reaction to what our conversation between Larry Golduck, Duck Snooby, and myself, Judith Conrad.
It's that progressive realization of the worthwhile predetermined goals, the journey. Don't
yes.
be looking for an exit ramp.
Don't be looking for an exit ramp. We have a friend who her tagline has to do something going to look good all the way to the exit ramp. Everybody loves that one. Of course, you know what the exit ramp is when we're talking about that. Yeah, so that's good. Okay, Larry, is there anything you'd like to say to our audience out there?
Go Ducks!
Need I say any more? Well, I just want to let you know that next week I will be broadcasting on Wednesday from 4 to 5. I think I'm going to go over to the Springfield Greeters Business After Hours at the New Hilton here in Springfield. And then Thursday will be my first time doing the Thursday program from 4 to 5. I think I'll go over to – I'm planning on going over to the Gateway to broadcast from there with some of our seniors. And then on Saturday, for those people who are in this area, and of course I'm not opposed to you flying in for this class, of making a collage, a vision board collage. It takes about 3 hours, and I will show you how to read the whole, all those symbols, and I will guarantee you that this is going to help your dream time. You know how you dream and you get certain symbols that come to you over and over and over again? You know, you're running away from a tiger, or you're climbing a mountain, or you're doing something. This will assist you in how to do the dream work. So I want to thank you, Larry, for being my guest today and having this wonderful conversation.
More than welcome. It was my pleasure.
Right. Okay, so I'm just about ready to close in. Thank you, BBS Radio, for hosting this program. And next week, like I said, I'll be on Wednesday and Thursday, and then the week after that, probably on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And if you're interested in having a radio program, I'm your go-to gal. I'll help train you, as I've been doing the last couple years up here in Eugene. Doesn't make any difference where you are. So I want to remind each and every one of you out there that who you are makes a difference.